The Future of Freight Forwarding, a podcast by TI, with TI's Head of Research, Nicholas Bailey, and me, Michael Clover.
Hello.
So, we're here really to talk about the new Global Freight Forwarding 2019 report, which looks at all the latest trends in the market and demonstrates really how the market is changing and will change in the future. When it arrived on my desk, I thought some of the most interesting findings were relating to the tech forwarding survey, how digitalization is really changing the market. And then, of course, at TI's renowned market sizing and growth forecasts, and obviously also reading about some of the companies and what they're doing in the marketplace and how they're changing in reaction to some of these trends. But I wonder if you could outline for me what your sort of key findings from the report were.
Sure. So from my perspective and from the perspective of the team which helped me put this report together, I think the key findings were really the rate and the rapid adoption that some of these tech forwarders, be they the online marketing places, the online marketplaces, be they the digital forwarders themselves, such as the Flexport, or be they the booking platforms, have really gained traction, just exactly how much volume is going through them at the moment, and also how kind of widely adopted they've been by some of the shippers in the sector. Mm-hmm. But more widely than that into the market, I think probably the most surprising thing is that we haven't seen a greater level of change. The technology has been adopted, in some cases quite significantly. We've seen some big M&A with DSV and Panalpina, for example. But overall, the landscape isn't really that fundamentally different from the last 10 years. And I think it's surprising to see the amount of kind of desire for that in the market being really quite low.
It's an interesting point, actually. There's a lot of talk about changing the market, and we get lots of external investors and commentators speaking about how rapidly the market can change and how much potential there is for that. But, you know, forwarding is traditionally quite a slow-moving industry. So, you know, the change we're seeing now, maybe it will accelerate, we'll see in the future. But one of the really interesting things about the survey is that it measures really the levels of adoption, the attitudes towards freight platforms, and tells us really why some of the shippers are really using that kind of technology, what their preferences are for it. So I wonder if you could just give us a bit more detail on some of the findings of that survey, what it tells us about you know, the future of those platforms.
Sure. Well, it is, we alluded to, there are some quite kind of startling findings in this survey. So we find, for example, that nearly half of everyone that took part had already used one of these platforms to ship some volume through. I think the idea that half of all shippers would have used one of these platforms is a surprising thing, and yeah. I think the market really would have thought that quite that much traction had been gained. And also, looking ahead over the next sort of 5 years, we asked about how much of the shippers' total volume would go through these platforms. Yeah. And we got somewhere near a fifth of all volumes, which yeah. is a huge amount of the market for these kind of new platforms, these new startups to be taking in just 5 years' time. Yeah. And really, I think more widely, thinking about what that means, it really hints at the fact that these tech-enabled forwarders are a catalyst to change in the market. It doesn't so much matter whether they're a booking platform, whether they're an online marketplace, or whether they're a true digital forwarder. They've shown the power and the way in which technology can enhance and add value to the forwarding process. And I think the kind of real conclusive finding is that if the traditional forwarders don't start to embrace some of these technologies and don't learn the lessons from how they can improve customer service, how they can offer extra value, or how they can really enhance their overall service quality, then they will rapidly start losing market share to some of these forwarders. Mm. They're able to offer better visibility, easier quotation of booking, yeah. services like that. And that's really what the users of these platforms are looking for. In the survey, we find that at the moment, they're really using them for basic services, and that's wrapping quotes, it's booking, and it's requesting quotes from a number of forwarders to really shop around for the best deal.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly something. I mean, over the last couple of years, we've seen that lots of the forwarders are recognising this and have been launching their own platforms. Actually, in the survey, we also asked questions about which were the most widely recognised and used platforms. And we saw a real mix there of, you know, the platforms set up by some of the incumbent forwarders, as well as the new startup platforms, and obviously the digital forwarders, as you mentioned. So there's still a lot of, I suppose, competition there looking at you know, which of those groups might actually take that market share, and whether or not the incumbents will actually, by providing those services in line with their traditional forwarding services, may be able to defend their share. Certainly very interesting, and also those points about which kind of services are being used, and, you know, why they're valued were also very interesting. And another point on the survey about that was looking at not just which types of services are being used, but you know, why people are deciding to use those platforms as well. And some of the issues with adoption too. So not just all the positives about, you know, booking and quotes and so on, but also looking at you know, some of the problems that are perceived to be had with those platforms, not having the you know, the same level of customer support, direct contact with account managers, and the ability to deal with exceptional circumstances and problems in the supply chain, still perceived as being problems with those platforms. So, you know, the survey does really go into detail and show the two sides of that coin as well. So, yeah, lots of very interesting findings about that, and all relating to strategies of the different companies and the overall overarching market trends in the freight forwarding market. But I wonder if you might also make a comment on the growth that we've seen in the bigger picture. I mean, you mentioned that we're thinking, or the survey showed that in 5 years' time, maybe 20% of volumes may be shipped through platforms. But in terms of the overall market, how's the growth picture been in 2018 and, you know, the forecast picture for the next 5 years or so?
Yeah, exactly. So we're seeing lots of change in the market, and we're seeing lots of new innovative ways of kind of executing your forwarding. But more generally across the market, what are growth rates like? And it's fair to say that 2018 was a big slowdown compared to 2017. But the important thing to remember there is that 2017 is the exception and not the rule.
Yeah.
So 2017 was really geared up, and a lot of the growth came from the restocking cycle. It was an exceptional year, whereas 2018 growth slowed to just like 3.9% across the global forwarding market. And that seems like a big fall down, because it's down from 8% in 2017. But the important thing to remember, the real message, is that 2018 was one of the fastest years of growth in the global forwarding market for the last decade.
Yeah.
So we're still seeing rapid growth in the market alongside rapid change in the ways in which forwarding is executed. In terms of mode, air was a bit slower growth than sea, so that was just below the kind of market average, whereas sea freight expanded at about 4.1%, which again kind of maybe hints at the end of that restocking cycle and the way that the market settled after that. And we're seeing essentially shippers move back to the slower, cheaper sea freight options, because the need to restock is dissipated a little bit.
Yeah, no, so it's certainly a very interesting picture, and you're quite right. You know, back in 2013-14, people would have bitting a hand off for the growth rates we're seeing this year. So yeah, still a very strong market in a historical context like that. Okay, well, certainly the report obviously contains a full range of market sizing data for different segments and different countries. So if you're looking for detail, you know, the report's an excellent option for you there. Of course, as well, if you want to learn more about the strategies of the major players in the market, you've also got that kind of information available for you in the Global Freight Forwarding 2019 report. So thank you, Nick, for joining me today to just talk about some of the key findings of the report. If you'd like to know more information about the Global Freight Forwarding 2019 report, then please get in touch with me, Michael Clover. You can do so at the email address mclover@ti-insight.com.